What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the North Shore 9 post-game show. I'm Jim. With me tonight is Tyler. Tyler, Pirates lose their first series of the year. I guess it was bound to happen. Second straight loss to the Mets here. 3-1, the final score. We got a lot to dive into, but how's it going? I just want to say it's good to be back. I haven't been on in a while.
Yeah, I'm glad you're back, Jim. It's good that the A team is back here.
Exactly. Jim and Ty, right?
Yeah, Jim and Ty's back, baby.
We're back. Gosh, this was another game. I think this is now, just by my count, 4 losses in the last week by the bullpen. Yeah, Ortiz picks up the loss tonight. Chapman with the loss yesterday. Hernandez with the loss in Philly. So 3 straight losses by the bullpen. Bednar with the loss last Tuesday. So, yeah, 4 losses in the last week by this Pirates bullpen. And we'll get into that. But there, like I said, there's a lot to talk about as far as like why they ended up getting to that bullpen as quick as they did. But I want to start off with Jarrett Jones. The dude, this was his 4th major league start. He absolutely dominated. I think this was the best out of his 4 starts. And he's had some really, really good ones up to this point. But he goes 5 innings, gives up just 1 hit. No runs, no walks. 7 strikeouts. He's now pitched 23 innings in the major leagues. He has 32 strikeouts and 2 walks.
Yeah, Jarrett Jones is the real deal, man. I kind of jokingly said it in our group chat, but that might have been the best start by a Pirates starter in like 20 years. He threw 59 pitches and 9 were balls. That's unheard of. And you mentioned like it doesn't happen. Like you don't throw 59 pitches and throw 9 balls while striking out 7 over 5 innings. Like it's a pretty solid lineup. Like, this dude's the real deal. I'm very excited that, you know, he seems to have taken a giant leap forward from even the minors and spring training even. Everything that I had concerns of Jarrett Jones have kind of been erased very quickly. Now we'll see how it all plays out, but just every time he takes the mound, he's electric. And he was again tonight. Like he's just flat out dominant most of the time.
He was incredible tonight. 54% whiff rate on the slider tonight. I mean, Jarrett Jones coming up through the minors, you knew about the stuff, right? Like he always had really good stuff. But he really hadn't ever really put it together for like a full season. I mean, you look at his minor league numbers in his first year in Bradenton. 4.64 ERA, largely due to, you know, a pretty high walk rate. He goes to Greensboro, 4.62 ERA, giving up a lot of home runs. The walk still kind of an issue, right? He goes to Double A, definitely his best level, 2.23 ERA, but also the strikeouts down, walks down. And then Triple A last year, it's not like he dominated. 4.72 ERA in Triple A last year. Walks, again, a pretty big concern. And then just he gets into the majors this year, and it's just that fastball slider combo. Like he's got the curveball, and I really like the way he used that curveball tonight. He used it kind of like to open open hitters up. He would kind of throw that over for kind of like a get me over strike one,
right?
And then pitch backwards from there. He was using it really nicely. But those two pitches, the fastball slider, just incredible. Incredible pitches. The fastball's one of the best I've ever seen. Pitch hitters just can't hit it. They can't hit it.
There's so much ride on it. It's like it just gets on you.
It does. It just catapults right out of his hand.
And you can see it on TV. Mm-hmm. Like, imagine being in the box.
Yeah. Yeah.
It explodes out of his hand.
But I was always high on Jones. Like, I always had some doubts that he was going to become a reliever, mainly because of the control issues. But I thought he would be good. In my wildest dreams, I would have never thought he'd be this good. And I know it's only 4 starts, but I'm going to go through some numbers here later on that, like, he's doing things that are just not normal and things that you don't see major league pitchers do. It's kind of crazy what he's doing right now.
Yeah, he's just a treat to watch at this point. And also, like, I've always had a weird thing in the back of my head that fastball slider guys typically just don't work. Mm-hmm. I always feel like you can maybe get away more of a fastball curveball type of guy just because the change of speeds helps a good bit. Jared Jones is doing it at an abnormal level. Like, it's truthfully, it's Jacob DeGrom-esque at this point, the way he looks. And I'm not, like, that's not an hyperbole. That's the comp I can come up with right now of what he looks like at this point.
I kind of joked about that earlier. I was like, he's like Jacob DeGrom light, but, like, I don't know if he's Jacob DeGrom light. Like, he's basically Jacob DeGrom right now. Like,
yeah, when you look at like Jacob fast, DeGrom. Right? You look at like fastball slider guys. It's DeGrom and then some guys that weren't very good, really. Like, there's a few in there, but and I like what you mentioned about the curveball as well. I do like what that brings for him, where he has something that's a little bit of a change of speed there, and being able to use that as a get me over type of pitch. That way, you know, early in a count, you can get something over that's not going to be a fastball upstairs, probably. That honestly will be hard to hit because it's so electric, but it's nice having that in your back pocket as well.
Yeah. Just to kind of mention here, so since they started tracking pitches, right, in the pitch tracking era, Jerry Jones, his 73 swings and misses through his first 4 career starts, is the most ever. It's the most ever in a pitcher's first 4 career starts. Think of the pitchers who have made their first 4 career starts in the last 20-ish years, right? No one has done what Jared Jones has done when it comes to missing bats. So that's that, again, just absolutely wild what he's doing right now. He's currently second in the majors in strikeouts behind Tyler Glasnow. So, I mean, we're talking about, like, he's being mentioned now among some really, really good names.
Glasnow's
tonight's
huge
start was just incredible. Yeah.
Glasnow's huge, has great stuff. And Jared Jones, the stature that he has being able to be in some of those other guys' companies, he's special, man.
Yep.
Like, don't screw it up, please. That's all I ask at this point. Don't screw this up.
Yeah, like, and guess what? I think they might have screwed up tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a pretty good segue here. 59 pitches, he's rolling. Five innings, 59 pitches, 50 strikes, which, again, by the way, since detailed pitch data started in 2000, no major league pitcher ever has thrown 60 or fewer pitches and thrown 50 or more strikes until tonight. This was the first time since they started tracking this in the year 2000 that someone threw 50 or more strikes with 60 or less pitches. So he's at 59 pitches, 50 strikes. He's just rolling. He's cruising. I've never seen a pitcher cruise this easily through 5 innings ever, right? I mean, he's on his way to a Maddox basically at this point. 59 pitches, 1-0 game, 1-0 lead, and they pull him.
Yeah. It's almost like it was an overreaction of what has previously happened, where maybe, I don't think they had left him in too long previously, but he did give up a few runs in, I believe, the 6th inning when they left him in. it wasn't like this. He 50 strikes in 59 pitches. Guys don't do that in a bullpen session. But you don't do that. I get wanting to maybe protect the innings here. 59 pitches again. Don't care about innings when you're being that efficient. Maybe you want to avoid the third time through an order. They're at 8-9-1. Not really an excuse here either. I don't get it. Any excuse that I can come up with for pulling him there, you can throw right out the window. They're at the bottom of the order. Harrison Bader's coming up. He can't hit. What are we doing? What are we doing here? Like, are we being that protective of a guy that threw 59 pitches and is just rolling through people? When, not to mention, you had a starter just go down. Maybe we can conserve the bullpen here because you have a starter that's flat out dominant today. Maybe save a few innings there. I don't care if he's a rookie or not. Worst case scenario, throws 90 pitches. Woo. Just, it's stupid. It's just plain out stupid.
Here's my issue with it. I'm 100% on board with monitoring Jared Jones's innings. He's 22 years old. The most he's ever thrown in a season is 126, right? So you're hoping that he pushes 150 this year, right? If you're kind of thinking, you know, what are we looking at, right? Over the course of an entire season, if he makes 30 starts, that's 5 innings per start. Like, it, there's not a whole lot of leeway here, right? I guess my thing is, though, is if you're going to be limiting innings here, pick and choose your times to do it, right? Maybe skip a spot through a rotation, especially maybe around the All-Star break, right? You can kind of make it so that he gets like a week or two off, right? In games that are blowouts, right? Maybe don't let him go out there for that sixth or seventh inning, right? In a game that doesn't necessarily, where you don't necessarily need it. Because here's my issue, right? This is his fourth start of the season. It was his most dominant start. And this was his shortest start out of all of them. Why are we picking today to do this when his first start of his career against Miami, he, again, 5-2 Pirates lead. They send him back out for the sixth, right? Next game, it's a 2-1 Orioles lead, and they send him back out for the sixth, and he pitches a sixth inning there. Last start against Philadelphia, the Pirates are down 1-0. So they don't have the lead. Not only did they send him out for the sixth, but they also send him out for the seventh, right? So why today? Why are we picking today to be the day where, okay, you're only going 5? He didn't even throw 60 pitches today. 59 pitches. He was never in any sort of distress. Like, there was no high stress pitches thrown. No one was ever really in any danger of scoring here. He was just absolutely cruising. That's where I take issue with this. Again, I'm on board with monitoring his innings, right? I just think there's better ways to do it. You don't do it in a 1-0 lead where he's just clearly dominating every single player he's facing, right? Pick and choose the other games where you're down 3-1, where you're up 3-1, right? Choose those games to maybe do it, not these 1-0 games where no one has a shot at hitting him, which is what was going on tonight.
And then, you know, if you're going to go ahead and do that in this type of game, maybe you do it when you have your bullpen at a full strength. Like, where you're not going to Luis Ortiz, then you're going Jose Hernandez and Ryder Ryan. And I know other guys might have been available, but maybe you can do it in a spot where you have your horses here. I don't know. It's frustrating. I agree with everything you said about picking your spots here. That really is probably the big problem, is that they could have done this in other situations. And really what I go back to is I feel like they just really wanted to give Jared Jones something to feel good about. Like he didn't go out there and give up a run or two in the sixth inning. They ended it on a good note. Let's hand it to the bullpen. Just lock it down here. I don't agree with it, but I feel like that had to be their thinking there, where they're just trying to end him on a good note.
Yeah, they were talking throughout the broadcast that, yeah, it's almost like they were preparing us for this, because they were even talking about this the first half of the game, saying, hey, you know, the Pirates are going to have him on a pitch count. They're going to be really careful with him. I didn't think they were going to be this careful with him.
Yeah.
I mean, 59 pitches, I just think is a little bit absurd. I totally get monitoring the innings. It's just, yeah, today just didn't seem like the day to monitor them that like this. So,
and if you have him on a pitch count, what the hell was that pitch count?
Yeah. Was the pitch count 60?
Was it 60? Right. That put him in the pen. Like, what are we doing?
Yep. So again, it's an organization. I mean, that clearly wasn't Shelton. Like, I don't think that's Derek Shelton saying, hey, you know what? After five innings of you just rolling, I'm going to take you out. I'm pretty sure this was like a game plan going in. I wonder if the game plan was just, he's going five today. Right.
And
there was no,
doesn't
way.
Matter how it goes.
Yeah, actually, here's the quote from Jared Jones just now from Noah Heil. So it was predetermined that I was going five innings today, no matter what happened. And he even says here, do you want to see me down the road, or do you want to see me get shut down? That's what I think of it. So that's the quote from Jared Jones. So it was predetermined going into tonight, he was going five innings.
Whatever. I don't have to agree with it, but there's nothing I can do about it, man.
Yeah.
I don't agree with it. It is what it is.
Yeah, I guess that's my thing. Like, if it's five innings and he's at 80 pitches, that's different from being five innings and 59 pitches. That's,
you know what?
That's my difference here.
I think Brett over here, that's exactly what I'm looking for. Brett mentions that limiting innings over pitch count is stupid. That's really what I'm getting at here. Like, what? You got to monitor a little deeper than that if you're really going to monitor it. You got to look at the high stress innings. When he's cruising like that, it's different. What if he went out there and threw 95 pitches in five innings? That's completely different than this. You're just telling me that it didn't matter what he did. Five innings was it. No matter, he could have looked poor. Like, he could have looked terrible, but five innings. I don't know. Just, what are you going to do?
Right. And again, like, I get the concept. I don't really get the execution today. Not necessarily how I would have handled it. There was a comment on here too, and I want to highlight this just to kind of, are we done talking about Jones, or do we want to kind of,
I could talk about him all night, but I think we can wrap up on him.
So Thomas says here, you know, we didn't lose this game because we pulled Jones. He says that we're warped with this thinking. The hitters need to hit. And so here's the thing, Thomas. The Pirates didn't lose today because they pulled Jared Jones. They lost today because they scored one run in nine innings. Like, that, at the end of the day, that's why they lost, right? You're not going to win too many games scoring just one run. So this offense, this is now a couple straight games now. They've looked pretty bad. Last night, the Mets bullpen kind of just dominated the Pirates. They couldn't even make contact. Tonight, again, I don't know what it was, but this approach here, 13 strikeouts. Jack Suwinski pinch hit it bad in the eighth inning. He just literally didn't swing the bat. He goes down looking, doesn't swing the bat. He sees six pitches, never swings. O'Neill Cruz, just another rough game, 0-for-4 with two strikeouts. Michael A. Taylor, 0-for-3. Edward Olivares, 0-for-3. Jared Triello, 0-for-4. The offense stunk. They stunk tonight.
Yeah, and I'm starting to see a trend here where the Pirates are really good offensively early in the year, and the approach looks really good. And that's probably because pitchers just don't throw many strikes early in the year, and hitting's ahead of pitching, plain and simple. There's probably an approach issue here that's been here for a few years. And it seems to be kind of a one-size-fits-all. There's a problem here, plain and simple. Andy Haynes has been really bad, truthfully. Like, this isn't working. I'm sorry, this is just not working. There's too many guys not swinging deep in the counts. Sure, they're seeing pitches. O'Neill Cruz doesn't need to be seeing a bunch of pitches. O'Neill Cruz needs to hunt a fastball because he's not going to see many of those.
Well, I think you've seen pitchers kind of adjust to O'Neill Cruz's new approach, right?
Yeah.
He's letting that first pitch go pretty much every single time. And he's starting every at bat 0-1. Every single at bat, he's starting off 0-1. And you're seeing the effects of that. And he's putting himself in not great situations. He's striking out a lot. He's not walking at all. He's not walking at all. No. So yeah, it's an approach where maybe it works for some guys, right? But it doesn't, it shouldn't really be this blanket all approach. And it seems like that's kind of what they're going with right now.
And they have been.
I'm not here to just completely trash this approach either, because I mean, I think there's a little bit of recency bias here too. Like they have a league average offense essentially right now. They have a league average offense. They're top 10 in runs scored. It's just, they've kind of sucked recently. Right. I think the biggest issue with this team right now is just the lack of power. Right. We expected to see more power from this team, and we're not seeing it. Right. Henry Davis does not have a home run yet. Rowdy Tellez has one extra base hit this entire season. The dude is slugging .292, right? That's just not acceptable from your first baseman. So when you kind of combine, there's a few players here where you just expect that some of that power to come from, and it's not. Like Davis and Tellez are two guys where you expect some pop, right? And they're not giving you anything. So when that happens, it's an issue, right? Swinski, another guy, .315 slugging percentage. So like when Swinski, Tellez, and Cruz all have, I mean, Swinski, Tellez, and Davis all have slugging percentages of .315 or lower, that's a problem.
Yeah, I mean, you can even throw Cruz into that mix there because the power hasn't been here really to this point. Three home runs, it's not enough for O'Neill Cruz. Cabrian Hayes is a guy I think we expected to see a lot more power out of, and he's been pretty good at the plate, but no home runs at this point. The extra base hits aren't there. That was my next point of what you just said. They're not hitting the ball over the wall, plain and simple. Mm-hmm. They're not hitting home runs. I don't know if it's an approach issue. I don't know. Like, at some point, the player's got to play. You guys have to perform at some point here. And they're not doing it.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you think about it, if there's just a little bit more power, maybe this approach works. Because they're getting on base, right? So if there's maybe just a couple more balls hit over the fence, then you're talking about the difference between scoring one run and scoring four runs, right? I mean, you saw in the Philly series, like, they loaded the bases for Jack Sawinski, and he put one over the fence for a grand slam. Scoring four runs on one swing is really good. That's going to greatly enhance your chances of winning. And when you're not doing that, it doesn't help. Doesn't help at all. So, yeah, offense was pretty poor today. It also didn't help that they just kind of started off. There was just another weird, like, can we go one game without something weird happening? Connor Joe starts off the game with a walk. Brian Reynolds lines one into left field. Who's playing?
And we
left
have two guys at first base.
Brandon Nimmo, he dives for it. The ball lands 5 feet ahead of him, right? But he ends up catching it on one hop. And Connor Joe just goes back to first. Like, what? It was the first two batters of the game too, and it's like, oh shit, here we go again, right?
Yeah.
Sorry for the language there, guys, but that's kind of what I felt. I was like, what's going on here again? So you know, Brian Reynolds robbed of a hit there. Should have been first and second, nobody out. Instead, it's runner on first, one out. It's completely different. First inning, you know, that's an inning where maybe you could have put something together there, right? And because of a poor mistake on the bases, you run yourself out of an inning, right? Mm-hmm. So there's just stuff like that too. This team, we've talked about how they just aren't doing the little things right. And up to this point, they've been able to overcome it because they've been playing pretty bad teams, right? They're playing poorly, but they're playing better than the crappy teams, right? Now you're getting into the part of your schedule where you're playing teams that are a little bit better. These aren't mm-hmm. the Marlins. These aren't the Nationals. And those boneheaded mistakes are costing you.
Yeah. There was that where I'm just assuming that Connor Drew didn't see the ball there. There's also a weird play. Triolo hit a grounder. Reynolds beat it out second. I don't know if Triolo just stopped running or if he took it easy there, but on no planet shouldn't he have beat that out, because Reynolds was safe at second. He actually ran through the bag, and then Triolo gets thrown out at first. Like, there are little things like that. It's been happening all year, but they were winning, so you could ignore it. Right now you can't, and they're still doing it.
Yeah. Another little thing too, and this was actually, it wasn't a little thing, it was a pretty big thing, yeah. Right? The balk. Luis Ortiz comes in to relieve Jared Jones, pitches a really, really good sixth inning. Seventh inning, goes back out, gets into a little bit of trouble. I'm trying to find the comment here. Somebody asked about the balk. It's too many comments. You guys are loading up the comments here. Keep them coming. But essentially what happened, it was a balk. Like, by all accounts of the rule, Jose Hernandez was on the rubber. He was staring into the catcher. He was getting the signal. The only thing is, the signals come from the pitch comm now and not from, you know, fingers that the catchers are putting down. So I think there were some pitch comm issues. I think Henry Davis maybe wanted to call a timeout. Hitter wasn't even ready. But Jose Hernandez kind of does a little jerking motion to kind of get into his set position. But then he stops, finishes getting the signal, and then goes in. Umpires kind of convene for a little bit, and they call the balk. Broadcast was a little heated about it, but I think according to the rules, I mean, just based off of what I saw, it was a balk. It was just one of those, like, really, really unfortunate balks that without the pitch comm system probably doesn't even happen.
Yeah, I mean, it's not an excuse. You just can't do it. Like, you can't do it in a spot like that. And it's just, like we said, it's little things that are starting to really add up here. I don't know why anyone's excited to hear my opinion on that one, because, like, there's nothing more I can say, though. He balked.
Yeah.
It happens. I don't know.
It was a balk. It was a balk.
Yeah.
It's probably not a balk 2 or 3 years ago, right? Because that system doesn't exist. But by all accounts of the rule, it was a balk, and yes, it led to the go ahead run. I mean, the Mets ended up taking the lead there because of that balk.
Yeah, it's just a lack of awareness. Like, you really got to lock in those moments, and just wasn't locked in.
Yeah. You know, until that seventh inning, I was going to come on here. I wanted to talk about how Luis Ortiz looked, you know, reliever Luis Ortiz, because he did look really good in the sixth, but he got himself into some trouble in the seventh. And Hernandez just like you said, it was a bad outing for Jose Hernandez. One of probably his worst of the year. You come in a tie game with runners on second and third. You've gotta get out of that. There's two outs, like, they're tie ball game, and you give up that balk, then you give up a double. And you know, with the way that this offense was going, once you went down 3-1, you almost kind of just felt like it was over.
Yeah, I mean, when they went down 2-1, it felt like it was over, the way the bats have been playing. And this is a lineup that really should be able to feast on some of these left-handed pitchers because they do have a bunch of righties that can hit lefties, and lately we haven't really seen that. And then whenever they're able to get to the bullpen and they bring the righties in, you have those lefty bats off the bench that are there because it's a lefty on the mound. Just, it's not working right now. Like, plain and simple, it really, like we already mentioned, it comes down to the fact they're not hitting the long ball. You can't expect to sustain success scoring 8, 9, 10 runs a game without homering. And right now, they're just not hitting enough home runs.
Yeah.
It's really,
I mean, you look at the games that they hit home runs, they're scoring and, mm-hmm. and they're winning. So that has a lot to do with it. That's for sure. But yeah, they lose 3-1 tonight. Tomorrow, they look to at least salvage a game here out of the series. 1:10 afternoon start. Bailey Falter, who has been red hot, he takes the mound against Luis Severino. So we'll have the postgame show for you on tomorrow afternoon. But yeah, outside of that, again, a lot of stuff happening for a 3-1 loss. A lot of stuff to talk about. The whole Jared Jones thing, I'm assuming this is going to be a topic really for yeah. the rest of this season. And guess what, guys? It's not going to be just Jared Jones because in a few weeks, you're probably going to get another guy come up here. And we're going to be going through some very similar strategies with him too. So if you were frustrated by tonight, boy, do I have some news for you.
I still think we have about 2 months. A little under 2 months is what I think we have still.
I don't think so.
And we'll find out, but
yeah, we'll find out. We'll find out. Like Brett says, buckle up, baby. We're in for a ride. Hey, I guess at the very least, we got a good one in Jared Jones. I'm pretty yeah. confident saying that.
Yeah, I feel really good. Like I said, don't screw it up.
Yeah. You got anything else?
No, I think I'm good tonight. We'll be back. We got North Shore 9 Live tomorrow. You're back?
North Shore 9 Live Thursday, I want to say.
Are we doing it Thursday or tomorrow?
I think the off day. We're doing it on the off day.
Okay. I couldn't remember what we decided on.
Yeah.
Well, either way.
It was Thursday off day, right? Thursday's an off day. Yeah. So post game tomorrow. Yeah. Post game tomorrow, NS9 Live Thursday. And then we'll have post game shows for the Boston series all this weekend. So, but yeah, appreciate each and every one of you. The chat was hopping tonight. Hey, we're here for your group therapy sessions after losses like this. So appreciate each and every one of you. Like the video, subscribe to the page if you haven't. If you choose to want to support us even more, we're up to 40 NS9 memberships, Tyler. It's pretty awesome. So if you want to become an NS9 member, hit the little join button. It'll show you the different levels that you can sign up for. But there's a lot of cool perks in there for you if you choose to support us even further. So, but appreciate each and every one of you guys. Pirates lose 3-1 to the Mets. They're now 11-7 on the season.
I guess I can't complain. 11-7.
Can't complain too much.
Let's just not get to 11-11.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's win tomorrow. Let's get back on a roll. Let's win tomorrow. Head back home at 12-7. I'll feel pretty good about that.
I have all the confidence in Bailey Falter beating Luis Severino.
Let's do it. All right, guys. Well, hey, appreciate you guys for watching. We'll talk to you tomorrow. See you all.
Peace out, Scouts.
Hey, you all. Thank you for watching. I know we try to provide the most entertaining content that we can, and we'd love to spread it to as many people as possible. So I know it doesn't seem like a lot, but if you could take the 5 seconds to like this video and subscribe to the page, it helps out so much more than you know. Thank you, and let's go Bucks.